Subject of our study this morning is found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 1. This section of text should be familiar with you. If you were here last Lord's Day morning, we looked at the first six verses of this chapter. This morning we just want to choose a subject from verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 in the New King James Version reads, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." These to whom the writer of Hebrews is writing are referred to as holy brethren in the text. They're referred to as brethren, that is, brothers and sisters in Christ, because they all belong to the family of God. It's mentioned in the context of this particular verse as the house or household of God, over which Christ rules and reigns. They're referred to as holy brethren because they have been sanctified, set apart, and consecrated to the service of God. Thus, they're holy or pure brethren in God's sight. They're also referred to in the text as those who are sharers or partakers of the heavenly calling. The heavenly calling. A call is simply an invitation or a summons. One might be called or invited to a wedding or a banquet. One might be called or summoned to the White House. One might be called or summoned to appear before Congress or to appear before a judge. Now, how you react to such invitations or summonses may bring severe consequences in this life, or it may not bring harsh consequences. But when one does not respond favorably to the heavenly calling, it has eternal consequences. So we want to learn about the heavenly calling this morning. In order to do that, we want to look at its characteristics as outlined for us in the New Testament, because when we look at a particular subject, if we simply look at the characteristics of that subject, for example, if we were studying the church, perhaps the church local, we'd look at the characteristics of a local congregation in the New Testament. We'd learn a great deal about a local congregation of God's people. In order to understand and come to a better understanding of the heavenly calling, let's just simply consider the characteristics of the heavenly calling this morning in our study. So as we look at the characteristics of this heavenly calling, the first thing we want to note is that it is the calling that comes from God. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. It's referred to as a heavenly calling because it is a call that comes from heaven. It comes out of heaven. That is, it comes from God. Thus, it's referred to as a heavenly calling. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14, Paul said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." If I remember correctly, the King James Version says the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high or upward call of God, that word upward or high simply means that which is above. It has reference to heaven. As a matter of fact, at least one version that I read from said it was a heavenly call of God. So it is a call that comes from God. It's a call that comes from above. It's a call that comes from heaven. Thus, it is indeed a call that comes from God. In 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 8, Paul said to the young evangelist, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." So God calls us. It is a calling that comes from God. It's referred to as a holy calling, and the word holy there has reference to being a divine calling. So it is a calling that comes from God. It's an invitation or summons that comes from God. Now you know God is much different than perhaps the president who would invite you to the White House. Many in our own day and time have turned down such an invitation. Even Congress, who would summons some before them, they have turned down such a summons. And the judge who would summons one before him in the court of law, they've turned down such. But when you're summoned or invited by God, you need to give serious consideration to that. So we see the first characteristic of this heavenly calling is that it comes from God. It comes from God. Another characteristic is mentioned in Romans 11 and verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The call has gone out, and it's gone out to all men. The summons or invitation of God has gone out to all men, and it cannot be revoked. It cannot be taken back. It cannot be changed. It cannot be reversed because it is final. There will not be another invitation. There will not be another summons from God. The invitation under consideration that God gives is final and complete. Another characteristic of this heavenly calling is that this heavenly calling is not according to our works. In our reading, we read a few moments ago in 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. This calling did not originate from God to mankind based upon whether man was righteous and upright and good in his own sight, because man never was that good in God's sight. As a matter of fact, Paul said to Titus in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this heavenly calling is not according to our works. Whether we do good or whether we do bad, this calling goes out. This calling, of course, is a calling to salvation. We'll see later on. But this calling is not according to our works, but it's according, note this, to His own purpose and His own grace. This calling or this invitation that comes from God was according to His purpose, His will, His plan, according to His favor directed toward man, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, note this, before time began, before time eternal. This invitation and summons was in the mind of God. This calling is also through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13. Paul said, but we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel. So how does God invite? How does He summons people to salvation? He offers the invitation to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus by or through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this gospel message, this gospel invitation has gone out to all men everywhere. And men will either accept the invitation or they'll reject the invitation or summons. But because it comes from God and because it has eternal consequences, they must give heed to it. We also note that this calling is for, in order to, the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Note that. To which He called you by our gospel for, there's that little Greek preposition, in order to, for the purpose of the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this calling is for the purpose that we may obtain the glory that our Lord Jesus Christ has. In Philippians 3 and in verse 21, Paul said that Christ will transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. In 1 John 3 and in verse 2, John said, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So this heavenly calling is for, unto the purpose of obtaining the glory provided by our Lord Jesus Christ. This calling is also into God's eternal glory. 1 Peter 5 and in verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to, literally into, His eternal glory. So God calls us into His eternal glory. He invites us or summons us into or to partake of His eternal glory. Thus this calling is into eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, into which you were also called. A little preposition to means into. We're called into eternal life. We're called into God's eternal glory. That's God's eternal glory. Eternal life. Everlasting life. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 4, that's the one hope of this calling. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of this calling. That is, the calling provides the hope that we have of eternal life. Reject the calling, you have no hope of eternal life. Because the calling is unto or into God's eternal glory, into eternal life. This calling is also in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 10 said to be in Christ. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory, by Christ Jesus. Now that little preposition by, if you're looking these up in your Bible, or you might want to take a note of it, that preposition's actually in. Translated as such in the American Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, English Standard Version, Christian Standard Bible, New International Version, almost all versions translated in instead of by. So may the God of all grace, who calls us into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Where is eternal glory found? Where is eternal life found? And where does this calling, what does it have and put us in union with and in an association relationship with? In Christ Jesus. That's how. So this calling is into God's eternal glory in Christ Jesus. That's where God's eternal glory, God's eternal life that He provides is found. In union and in association, in fellowship with Christ Jesus. If that be the case, then we perhaps could find an occasion in which this calling is into the fellowship of Christ Jesus. Such as 1 Corinthians 1. And in verse 9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're called into fellowship because we're called in a relationship, union, and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This call, when one responds favorably to this call, it puts him in Christ. It puts him in fellowship with Christ. When one responds favorably, of course, he will believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of his sins. And baptism is that which puts one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26, 27. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when one is baptized, when one receives the invitation to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus, he becomes a partaker or sharer in the heavenly calling. The benefits of the heavenly calling. The benefits of glory. Being glorified like our Lord Jesus Christ on the day in which He comes and takes us to heaven. Amen. Being glorified by God's eternal glory and everlasting life. We partake and share in the benefits. All by being in Christ Jesus, in a relationship and association with Him. In fellowship with Him. Outside the fellowship, outside that union, outside the relationship, there's none of that sharing in the benefits of a heavenly calling. No eternal life. No forgiveness of sins. This calling is also not to uncleanness, but in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7. For God did not call us to uncleanness, that is moral uncleanness, moral impurity, but in holiness. Some versions render the word holiness, sanctification. God called us in sanctification, in holiness. The word sanctification or holiness has reference to one's devoutness toward God. He calls us to be devout and consecrated to Him. And as we live as children of God who have partaken of the benefits of the heavenly calling every day, we ought to become more holy. Holiness, of course, takes place when one is baptized into Christ for the remission of his sins. His sins are washed away. He's holy That's why we're referred to as holy brethren. But that holiness must continue in one's life. If you don't continue to grow in purity and holiness and sanctification, evidently you must be growing in moral impurity, uncleanness. And God does not expect that of us as children of God who are holy brethren. As a matter of fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct." So God, who is holy, the ultimate of one who is holy, we ought to be holy. We ought to be pure in all of our conduct and all of our behavior and all of our life. Because he didn't call us to uncleanness or moral impurity, but he called us in holiness, in sanctification. And we should walk. We should walk worthy of this calling. Ephesians 4 and in verse 1. "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you," note this, "to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." To walk doesn't mean to take steps down the street. The word walk here is used metaphorically. It has reference to one's conduct, one's behavior, one's manner of life. So in your manner of life, you're to live, behave, conduct yourself in a worthy manner. That is, in a proper manner. In a manner that is fitting and right for someone who is to be holy. So walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Conduct yourself as someone who is worthy in the sight of God. Someone who lives their life appropriately and right according to His will. This calling should be made sure in our reading this morning. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent," that is, put forth every effort, do your very best, "to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." These things are that list of virtues that were mentioned here in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through verse 11, that Rick did in our reading this morning. So if you do these things, and note, those virtues are something that one engages in. If you do these things, you will never stumble, you will never fall. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom. Verse 11. "But brethren, be even more diligent. Put forth every effort possible in you to make your call and election sure." Now you're going to be called. We're all called by the gospel. You're going to be invited to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus. You're going to be summoned by God to partake of the benefits and share and be partakers of the benefits of that heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. You need to do your best. Put forth every effort possible to make it sure. That is, to make it certain. To make it something that is going to be realized. So make your call and your election sure. Because Jesus said in Matthew 22 and verse 14, "Many are called," note this, "but few are chosen." The chosen here, or the election here. So many are called. That's right. Multitudes of mankind are called by the gospel. All men are called by the gospel. Their summons partake of salvation in Christ Jesus by or through the gospel. But there's only few who are going to be chosen. The called are those who are invited to salvation by or through the gospel, and the chosen are those who hear the invitation and then accept it in obedience. Those are the chosen. So many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but many of those who are called are not going to receive that invitation favorably. They're not going to respond to it favorably. Only those who receive it, respond to it favorably, are the chosen. Again, do everything in you that is physically possible to make your call and your election sure. It's not enough to be called. Everyone is called. Everyone is summoned. But how you respond to that call is going to determine your eternal destiny. If you do not respond favorably, if you do not respond in obedience, you'll not be a part of God's chosen people. You'll not be saved in the end. If you obey the call of the gospel, then you can be, as the saints at Rome, referred to as called saints. Romans 1 and verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, it's difficult, perhaps, on the chart, to see that the words to be are in italics. It means they've been added by the translators. It's not necessary that they be there. As a matter of fact, it's a distortion of the text. In the English, the translators render the word called and add the word to be and make it a verb. But in the Greek, the word called is an adjective. It's describing the saints. They're called saints. Why are they called saints? They're saints by calling. They're saints, that is, they're saints because they've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. So they're saints, having been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism, because they responded to the call, the invitation or summons to partake of that salvation in Christ. Thus they're called saints. And so if you respond favorably to the invitation, the summons to partake of salvation in Christ Jesus, you'll be a called saint. You'll be a saint that God called and responded favorably. Not only will you be a called saint, but according to verse 6, you'll be like the Romans as well. You can be referred to as the called, Romans 1 and verse 6, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So all who have responded favorably to the call of the gospel are said to be the called. The called. It's simply another way of saying they're the church because they've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. You're part of the called. Are you this morning part of the called? The invitation has gone out. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invites you. He invites you to partake of salvation in Him. Respond favorably to the call. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Become the called of Jesus Christ. Become saints who are called, who've responded favorably to the call. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song that has been selected.